गोविंद माता जी।
हरे कृष्णा, हरे कृष्णा प्रभु जी, वेलकम टू द भक्ति संघ कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल। थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु जी फॉर जॉइनिंग द कॉल। टुडे वी हैव फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हिज ग्रेस प्रहलाद प्रिया प्रभु जी। टुडे टॉपिक इज बहुलाष्टमी। थैंक यू वेरी मच प्रभु जी फॉर जॉइनिंग द कॉल। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभाद एंड ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु महाराज। I'm hand out to call to Shyama Gauri Mataji. Please take over the call, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Prabhuji for accepting our request and coming on the call. So I request Sureshwar Shyam Prabhuji to give a brief introduction about Prabhuji.
Yeah, sure Mataji. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam. Yeah. His Grace Prahlad Priya Prabhuji is a very senior devotee from Mumbai. Prabhuji has been in the movement for last 25 years. And Prabhuji came in contact with ISKCON while Prabhuji was pursuing his studies in Pune in 1995. And Prabhuji is a engineer and specialized in financial management. Prabhuji currently works in Deutsche Bank. Prabhuji and his wife, Rajasundari Mataji, are serving as counselors in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir for the past 15 years. And they have a daughter named Shriji. Prabhuji, enthusiastically participates in the dramas. Right? He is also part of the famous drama team called Goloka Players. Prabhuji is very expert in deity dressing. He is also known for his Sanskrit study and study of Shastras. Prabhuji is a very renowned speaker on Srimad Bhagavatam in Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. Thank you very much Prabhuji for coming on the call and trying to speak on Bahulashtami. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Back. It's all yours Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Am I audible?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu, thank you for your kind words. I really don't own any of those wonderful words that you spoke. It's the kind mercy of devotees. They have been encouraging. Personally, in my life, I know how much remaining Krishna conscious is a struggle. So, in fact, I am very grateful to all of you. That in the midst of such rat race that we are living in, I have some opportunity of engaging my time in absorbing topics about Krishna and making an effort to maybe research something, study something, just so that I can present it. Somehow because of the service, I was pulled out of my material consciousness and, I got some time to focus it on Krishna, basically. So very grateful to you. And I like the name that all of you have given. It's a Bhakti Sangha program. In Borivali also here where I stay, that's in Mumbai, we also have a Bhakti Sangha program on Saturday. It comes once in a month. And all devotees look forward to it. Of course, because now we are in this unimaginable or probably once in a millennial phase, you can say, or at least once in 100 years, if not millennial, of some sort of a global trouble that everyone is going through, and it's difficult for devotees to associate physically. There are various ways in which one can serve Krishna, and if you read Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada very wonderfully gives an example of Ambarish Maharaj, who was able to engage all his senses in service of Krishna. There is that beautiful verse in Bhagavad Gita where, Niraharasya Dehinam Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Param Drushtva Nivartate. So that in that verse, Srila Prabhupada gives that how we cannot just subdue our senses artificially, but we need to engage them positively in Krishna's service. And there he gives example of Ambarish Maharaj. And the way he explains the sense of touch that can be used in Krishna's service. He says tad bhrutya gatra sparshayanga sangamam. He says one engages one sense of touch in serving Krishna by embracing a devotee of the Lord. Of course, needless to say, but of the same gender. So by embracing a Vaishnava, one actually engages one sense of touch in the service of Krishna. And somehow in this period of pandemic, that is, you know, you are restricted from doing it. There's no way that you can associate with devotee or you can even lovingly go close to a person. So anyway, so all that is not there. And then we are all stuck in our homes. We are stuck in our offices, I mean, virtual offices. And there's hardly any time, because when you work in office and you come home, then you are cut off for some time. And in fact, all the successful businessmen, they always cut off themselves when they come home. But now it's like 24 hours. You know, you're just working 24 hours. Anyway, so I'm very grateful. And then let's begin. So today is the auspicious occasion of Bahulashtami. What is Bahulashtami, really? So just a brief background. So far, until last year, Bahulashtami was considered as the day which is the appearance of Radhakund. Now, those of you who have visited the holy place of Vrindavan, which is in India, Mathura, you must have understood that in Vrindavan, there is this holy place of Govardhan. And in Govardhan, there are these two very esoteric and holy kundas. And kunda means a pond. And one of them is called Radhakund and one of them is Shyamkund. And those of you who must have studied the Nectar of Instruction book written by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada very wonderfully explains that he actually explains that the greatest place which is beyond the material world is Vaikuntha. But even higher than Vaikuntha is supposed to be Mathura. And in fact, Nectar of Instruction is a book which is commented by Srila Prabhupada, but it is written by Srila Rupa Goswami, who is the 15th, 16th century saint in India, who was a direct disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he actually explains it very nicely. And he mentions that greater than Vaikuntha is the place of Mathura. And that is because Lord Krishna is personally born in Mathura. But then he says, but within Mathura, there is the forest of Vrindavan. And this forest of Vrindavan is supposed to be even greater and more important than Mathura. Why? Because in the forest of Vrindavan, Lord Krishna personally had Raslila. And then he says, but even more important than this forest of Vrindavan is the place of Govardhan. And this Govardhan is a small hill. When Lord Krishna was there, it was quite a tall hill. Now, if you visit Vrindavan, Govardhan is like hardly half a height. I mean, the topmost peak of Govardhan is probably around 7-storied or 8-storied building. Not more than that. And that is mentioned because Govardhan actually undergoes sort of separation. In the mood of separation, is reducing its size. There is some external reason of some curse also, but the internal reason is that actually because of separation from Krishna, Govardhan is actually slowly shrinking in its size. So why Govardhan is considered as the even greater place than Vrindavan? So the reason that is given is in Vrindavan is great. There are two reasons given. Reason number one is Govardhan was a hill which was personally touched by Lord Krishna, and he lifted Govardhan hill and held it for 7 days and 7 nights. And before this entire Leela of lifting Govardhan hill, Lord Krishna also demonstrated to the entire world that Govardhan is non-different than him. So Govardhan is Sakshat Lord Krishna himself. So that is one reason. The second reason the pastime of rasa, that is pastime of loving exchange with Lord Krishna, which was exhibited with gopis, and because of which the forest of Vrindavan is supposed to be the greatest, even higher importance than Mathura. This pastime of loving exchange was shared with the entire population of Vrindavan during this Govardhan Leela. Because for 7 days and seven nights, all the residents of Vrindavan were under that one hill. And it was like a lockdown, similar to what we are experiencing right now. 7 days and seven nights lockdown. And it was literally a lockdown, because outside there were like downpours of rains. And those rains were not like common rains that you, I mean, I remember on 26 July, I think 2007, I believe, in Mumbai, or 2005, there were massive rains. And when people took the photograph of Mumbai city from the aeroplane, all they could see is like this Saptadweep. Mumbai was known as Dwaipayani. It's a place of islands. And people could actually see island like Mumbai from top. It was massive. Around 250 people on the record lost their life. Around 2,000 off the record became the casualties during that period. It was a massive, massive rain. That rain which happened in Mumbai, maybe like an insignificant, you know, iota in front of the rain that was happening in Vrindavan during the Govardhan Leela. So it was like an absolute drop, absolute lockdown. But for the 7 days and seven nights, now, you know, we are used to, you know, using toilets and bathrooms within our house. But in the olden days, when you want to respond to nature's call, you have to actually sort of go out of the vision of the people. Now, people were locked down under the hill, so there was no question of going out for nature's call or something like that. So 7 days and seven nights, nobody slept, nobody ate anything, nobody drank anything, nobody responded to nature's call. And neither there was any need of doing it, because they were so absorbed in seeing the beautiful, charming form of Lord Krishna. It was so beautiful that they didn't even have to do it. And this is known as samadhi. So this state of samadhi, which was attainable only by the very special gopis of Lord Krishna until Ras Lila, now that facility was extended to all the population of Vrindavan. And actually Srila Prabhupada, to be very honest with all of you, took out that facility out of Vrindavan and distributed it all over the world. And anyone who is actually seriously engaged in worshipping Krishna will actually have experienced some sort of samadhi or some sort of engagement where the person completely forgets hunger, thirst, or anything else in his life. It's a fact of experience. So when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9 chapter, Pratyaksha Avagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartum Avyayam, you know, believe me, he's not just saying it. It is actually something that a devotee can experience. And therefore, a devotee of Krishna, who sincerely becomes a devotee, who sincerely makes an effort to become a devotee, even if he falls down, after some time he comes back. Why? Because that taste that he has tasted once, that anubhav, you know, that particular experience, which is so unique to every person. The experience that I'm sure each one of you have had some very, very special, sweet experience in your life, which only you have experienced in a very unique way, which just suits you. And that is the master skill set of Lord Krishna, that when he reciprocates, he actually reciprocates just exactly the way that person wants and understands it. And he's just so personal. And anyone who has had this experience will never go away from Krishna. Even if he goes away for some time, he or she goes away for some time, will come back. And you know, in that same mood, Krishna was extending his mercy in this entire period of lockdown of 7 days. And therefore, you know, we are all happy in Krishna consciousness. So if you read the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj in 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, he says this particular verse, I'm not exactly able to remember it. He says, Shoche tato vimukha chetasa indriyartha maya sukhaya bharam udvahato vimurhan. He says that, you know, I am, as far as I am concerned, you know, I am happy. Prakrishta Rupena Alhad. You know, Prahlad means, you know, he's naturally happy. He's just happy in Krishna consciousness, just like a magnet which is strongly, an iron filing which is strongly attracted towards a magnet. You know, he said that my bhakti is just flowing towards Krishna, naturally, sahaj. It's born with him. You know, he's like a born devotee. So for him, it's not artificial effort. But he said, when I see people who are suffering, you know, I feel like, you know, I will stay back. I'll stay back. Let everyone go back to Godhead until each and every person develops love of Krishna. I'm willing to stay back. That is the mood which is expressed by a devotee. And why these prayers, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear these prayers, he would become so ecstatic. It's because of this audarya bhav which is there. That I have been happy, I have been experiencing Krishna consciousness. I am happy about it. But let me do something so that others can also enjoy. So I know devotees are taking efforts, organizing this Bhakti Sangha program. Somebody may be, you know, sacrificing one or two rounds for doing that. You know, somebody may be sacrificing some 10 minutes of sleep for doing that. Somebody may be sacrificing some cooking that needs to be done for the family for doing that. Right? Each one of us is doing that something, some contribution. But that sacrifice is so much appreciated by Lord Krishna. So much appreciated by Lord Krishna. Why? Because there is an element of audarya. Let me do something so that others can become Krishna conscious. So it's really a great effort of organizing something like this and helping people to become Krishna conscious and helping them to remember Krishna. And that's why this Govardhan is considered even better. And you know, what is the mood of Govardhan? If you study the verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that beautiful verse in which Hantaya Madri Rabala Haridas Varyo, that verse, actually the acharyas explain that this verse is spoken by Radharani herself. And she's looking at her friends and she's pointing to Govardhan and she's saying, just look at this Govardhan. Adri Abala means she's addressing all her other female friends. Haridas Varyo, she's saying this, he's a Haridas Varya, he's the greatest of all devotees. And then he explains what is this Govardhan doing. She says that when the friends of Lord Krishna, they're playing on Govardhan, Govardhan makes the stones very soft so that they don't prick to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and his friends. And the Govardhan specifically grows certain kandamula, certain fruits and certain roots, which are very sweet in nature, which you can just go and you can just pluck them and eat. And they're just nourishing. And Govardhan grows very special grasses, which actually increases the milk of cows, increases the progeny of cows. Therefore, the name is Govardhan. Vardhan means to increase. So something that increases cows, sometimes it increases the potency, the power, the nourishment of cows. That is Govardhan. So that's why Govardhan is so special. And then Rupa Goswami says that out of this Govardhan, the topmost place in Govardhan is this pond called as Radha Kund. So until last year, let's say, Bahulashtami was accepted as the day on which Radha Kund actually appeared in this world. Now Radha Kund is supposed to be always eternally existing in spiritual world also. But just like Lord Krishna is eternally existing in spiritual world, and Krishna also appears in this material world once in the day of Brahma in his original form, and then in the form of incarnations, in the form of his expansions in so many ways, millennium after millennium keeps on appearing. Similarly, Radha Kund also eternally exists in the spiritual world, but Radha Kund also appears in this material world on this particular day. Now, some devotees, they went back and they did research on when they were doing really research on where this reference of Bahulashtami is coming in scriptures, because devotees typically like to follow Guru, Sadhu and Shastra always. And they're like the three pillars. They're like the, what they call as pharos, you know, they're like the poles, the directional poles. If someone is going in a different direction, you come to know, actually there's something wrong here. Maybe he's not a bona fide Sadhu. Maybe he's not a bona fide Guru. Maybe he's not a bona fide Shastra. They all have to agree. So people were looking for reference. So where is this Bahulashtami reference coming? You know. So then what the reference that devotees found was in the One of the scripture written by Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami was another disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or rather, let's say another follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami mentions in one of his books that the killing of Arishtasura demon, which happened on the same day as that of appearance of Radhakund, and we'll be discussing that pastime in a short while, that happened on Chaitra Purnima. So Arishtasura demon was killed on Chaitra Purnima. That is a reference that is found. Now the month of Chaitra comes in summer. At least in India, there is summer that time. It's typically the April period. And you know, the Chaitra Navami is celebrated as Ram Navami. And just 6 days or 7 days after Navami comes Purnima. And that is actually celebrated as Hanuman Jayanti in India. And that on the same day of Chaitra Purnima, Arishtasura also was killed. And because the pastime of Radhakund appearance happened on the same day, therefore it is accepted that the actual appearance day of Radhakund is Chaitra Purnima. And today is Bahulashtami. So then why are we celebrating appearance of Radhakund today? Or why should we even do that? Okay, so as we go on explaining various Leelas, this reason will be clear to you. So as I already explained, that Radhakund is a place. Now there's one thing which I actually skipped on doing at the beginning of the class, that is to invoke the prayers for the acharyas. So before I actually begin the pastime, let me offer these prayers at the feet of the acharyas and the spiritual masters, and then we can begin. So I'll just quickly recite the prayer and then we can resume, because whatever I spoke so far can be taken up as a introduction, and now the main pastime begins. So we can simply pray. So Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Krupatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Meshwaram. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrunda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So thanks once again. So as we already discussed, Radhakund actually is a place which is eternally existing in the spiritual world. And how did it actually appear in the spiritual world? Now, you know, to our material consciousness, this is very difficult to understand. If spiritual world is supposed to be eternal, then how can something appear in the spiritual world? So there is no way that we can understand this. The simple reason is because our intelligence is material. It is made up of matter. Krishna also explains in Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter that, you know, we have the gross body and the subtle body. And beyond the subtle body, there is spirit soul. So everything that is gross body, which is there in gross body and subtle body, is nothing but the separated energy of Lord Krishna, or which is material. That's what is material. Material basically means that which is separated from Krishna, in short. So because our intelligence is material, there is no way that we can understand with our own material intelligence that how can something appear in the spiritual world, which is eternal. So that's difficult to understand. I just want to understand one thing. Am I audible? Are you all able to hear me, or is anybody receiving any issues about?
No, Prabhu, we can hear you loud and clear. Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. So Yeah, so how can something that is appearing in the spiritual, something that is eternal, where how can something appear there? So it, you cannot understand, we cannot understand. So our Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, he gives a very nice solution to this problem. That how do we understand this? Something which is completely material, something which is completely spiritual, how can with our own material understanding understand it? So he says that he writes in Brahma Samhita. And Brahma Samhita, he says that there is one way of doing it. What is that way of doing it? That one way of doing is that by submissively serving one's spiritual master and by submissively serving Vaishnavas. And therefore there is this famous story. So what happens when you submissively serve Vaishnavas or submissively serve your spiritual master? Then there is one personality who resides within our body and in almost in the same region where our soul is situated, and that is Paramatma. And that Paramatma who is there in the heart, that Paramatma becomes happy. So that Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, that is that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Shushusho Shaddhanasya, what is that verse actually? I'm not able to recollect. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. So that shloka, Krishna says that, you know, and then other verse, Vidunoti Surut Satam, that verse comes. That with Paramatma who is, Shrunvatam Swakatha Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtanat, Rudyantasthohi Abhadrani, Vidunoti Surut Satam. So very beautiful. So he says that when one person shows an inclination or interest, like Shrunvatam. Shrunvatam means one who is inclined to hear about Krishna. One shows that interest to hear something about Krishna and to serve. What happens? You know, the Paramatma in the heart becomes very happy and he starts cleaning our heart. He starts revealing to you things. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that one who knows me as I am will come back to me after death. So how do you know Krishna as he is? You cannot know because we have material intelligence. We cannot know because we have material intelligence. But who can know? To one to whom Krishna personally feels that he should reveal it, that person will know. Nobody else can know. And to whom will Krishna feel like that revealing? One who submissively serves the spiritual master. So Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktav. That is the verse which is recited in Brahma Samhita. Everyone knows this word. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that what is the meaning of this adurlabham atma bhakto? What is this atma bhakto? So atma bhakto means those devotees who are my own or who are servants of those who are my own. To these people, it is adurlabham. They can know. But Vedeshu Durlabham. But if somebody simply goes to scriptures and Vedas, they will not be able to understand Krishna. So within one's capacity, within one's time and within one's ability, if somebody gets some opportunity to serve and please a Vaishnava or a devotee, one should always accept it. And we should be extremely non-political about it. Right? Extremely non-political about it. Whenever that opportunity comes, rather than asking question, why me? There are so many other devotees who can do it. First ask the question, why not me? And if that question is answered with a proper justification, why not you? Because there is something else to be done. Then you can suggest that, you know, maybe you can ask this person or that person. But unless that question is firmly answered, that why not me? And that answer mostly should be that, yes, it should be me. If it has come to me, it's by Krishna's mercy, it has come to me. It's an opportunity to please Krishna. Let us accept it. Because if you do that, then slowly you will see that Krishna is revealing. Krishna is revealing his transcendental nature to you slowly. So again, when we develop that test, we will understand how, you know, it appears in spiritual world. But till that time, we can just follow the pastime which is given in the scripture. So the pastime in Puranas, it is mentioned like this. That one time Lord Krishna was feeling great separation from Srimati Radharani. So again, you can ask question, why in spiritual world should Krishna feel separation from Srimati Radharani? It's spiritual world, right? I mean, it's always there. here in material world, you can understand Krishna is going from Vrindavan to Mathura. He's engaging in so many political affairs. He wants to kill demons, establish dharma. But in spiritual world, there is no need of doing any of this, right? So why is he spilling separation from Shrimati Radharani? You cannot understand. We cannot understand. But there was, at one point in time, he was experiencing great separation. And in that separation, the separation was so strong that he actually took the form of Shrimati Radharani in that separation. And in that form of Shrimati Radharani, he started chanting the names of Krishna. Because when Shrimati Radharani is deeply feeling separation from Krishna, she chants Krishna's name. So Krishna went in the mood of Radharani and went in the mood of Radharani feeling separation and therefore started chanting his own names. And that's what is essentially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you analyze it. That Krishna going so much deep into the mood of Shrimati Radharani that he actually understands what Shrimati Radharani is doing in that mood, and that is chanting his own names. So Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, that's how that description is there. Sango Pangastra Parshana. So Krishna is going in his own, chanting his own names. So that's why sometimes people say, why is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanting Krishna's name? It's Krishna himself. And then, you know, you may say that because he wants to state it, show it by example. But that is true. He wants to show an example. But the internal reason is that actually he's gone so deep in the mood of Shrimati Radharani that in that mood of Shrimati Radharani, he's chanting Krishna's names. So he's chanting Krishna, he started chanting his own names. And when Radharani realized that, you know, in her transcendental consciousness that Krishna is undergoing this mode of separation, she went into the mood of Lord Krishna and she took the form of Lord Krishna. And in that deep mood of separation of Krishna, experiencing separation from Radharani, she took the form of Krishna. And then in that Krishna experiencing Radharani's separation, she started chanting her own name, that is Srimati Radharani's name. So like that it was happening. And all the gopis, when they saw all this, they said, oh my God, they were feeling a lot of pain in their hearts, that what is this happening? Let's do something. So at that time, a transcendental sound spoke from the sky. Now this is not demigod speaking, because this all is happening in spiritual world. What is that sound? We don't know. But that's some transcendental sound spoke from the sky. Because swabhaviki jnana balak kriyacha. Everything happens in the spiritual world for Krishna's pleasure, automatically, in a very easy way. It gets orchestrated in such a way that Radha and Krishna can feel maximum happiness in that period. So that sound spoke from the sky, and the sound said that the sound said to Lord Krishna that Krishna, you stop chanting your own names. In fact, start chanting Srimati Radharani's names. When you start Radharani's names, she will appear in front of you and your separation will be immediately overcome. So Lord Krishna listened to that voice. So Krishna is very sweet, by the way. You know, people who are, they are self-made man, you know. He's the supreme boss, right? He's the boss of all the bosses. I mean, he's boss of Lord Vishnu. And there's nobody superior to him. So it is so amazing that somebody gives him an advice and he listens to that advice, right? But that is his sweetness. Someone tells him, you know, he listens to that person. Yashoda Mai tells him, Krishna, do like this. He listens to Yashoda Mai. You know, Uddhava tells Lord Krishna, Krishna, let's do plans like this. You know, this is not proper for you. You know, let's go, let's attack like this. Let's first attack Jarasandha and then let's do Rajasuya sacrifice. In that way, you know, so Krishna listens to Uddhava. Yeah, that's true. We should do like that. Yudhishthira Maharaj comes to Lord Krishna and says, Krishna, please stay for a few more days. Krishna listens to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Right? And he's Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's the cause of all causes. And he's Abhigya Swarat. He's independent. But he listens to his devotees. And it's inconceivable. So Krishna listened to that person, that unembodied voice, and started chanting the names of Srimati Radharani. And then soon Radharani appeared there. And as soon as Radharani appeared, Krishna came out of his that consciousness of Radharani's form, and he came back to his original form. And Radharani also came back to this form. And when they came back to their normal consciousness, they saw that in that mood of separation, they both had cried so much that two beautiful ponds were formed there. A pond was formed by Radharani's tears and a pond was formed by Krishna's tears. And Krishna said that this pond, Radhe, which is formed by your tears, will be known as Radhakund. and this pond which is created by Maya tears will be known as Shyamakunda. Now this is happening in spiritual world. So if I ask you on which particular tithi or day it happened, there's no way, you can't find it, right? So we can glorify on today's day also Radha Kund appearance, because it could have happened today. Who knows which day it happened? And it's eternal, it's in the spiritual world, right? And this principle of Nitya Leela, right? It's always happening somewhere. At this point, somewhere in some universe, Radha Kund is appearing. So Bahulashtami, we can discuss about Radha Kund. There is no harm, right? Now, this Radha Kund, on the day when it appeared on earth, that pastime is very nice. And that actually, as we discussed a few minutes back, appeared on Chaitra Purnima. But until last year, everyone was accepting that it appeared on Bahulashtami. Because the local people, till today, I mean, if you happen to visit Vrindavan on Bahulashtami to Radha Kund, and I have been there, so you will see many, many Brajavasis taking bath on. It's like crowded. Otherwise, Radha Kund is not that crowded. It's not a very crowded place. But if you come in this particular period, and of course in Kartik, there are crowds of people. If you happen to go, like I remember this time the Adhik Mass came, it came in this pandemic period. So we couldn't really go out and visit anywhere. But I remember 3 years back, the Adhik Mass was there 4 years back. And I was in Vrindavan that time. And we went to Govardhan. It was an Ekadasi. And we said, okay, let's do Govardhan Parikrama as a matter of Adhik Mass worship. And it was like, my God, it was like any busy railway station in Mumbai or in US or anywhere in the morning hours. You have these busy railway stations. That's how the entire Govardhan was. And Radha Kund was like, there was no place to put your own step also. It was like, I mean, when you went into the water and when you came out, you're not sure whether you're using your own towel or somebody else's towel. I mean, it was like very bad, very bad. But that was a very, very crowded. But otherwise, it's not that crowded. But on the day of Bahulashtami, you see it's very crowded. And the people offer their pumpkins to Radha Kund. And then there's a belief that one who offers pumpkin to Radha Kund on the day of Bahulashtami, one gets a good son or a good pochini or a good daughter, whatever, a good child. So that's the belief there. And they still follow Bahulashtami as the appearance of Radha Kund, by the way. We, based on the acharyas now, we have observed Bahulashtami also and Radha Kund also. So how did this Radha Kund appear on this planet Earth? And that Leela is also very nice. And very, 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 very enlivening Leela, and teaches us a lot of lessons, actually. So we will discuss that. And then we will also discuss another small story. And I will ask if I am allowed to share the story after we hear the story of Radha Kund. If we have time and if all of you are ready and if you bless me with the permission. Otherwise, we won't. So this pastime, of course, is there in Krishna book. Most of you are very sincere devotees. You must have read it. But for our own purification, we will just recite that pastime once and try to hear that pastime. And for my own purification, I'll speak it. One time Lord Krishna was having wonderful pastimes with the gopis. And he was actually joking with Srimati Radharani, and they were just like having a nice time, passing puns and, you know, talking and this and that. And if you read certain literatures written by acharyas like Jiva Goswami, like this Gopal Champu, Anand Vandavan Champu, and many such pastime. Basically, what's the meaning of Champu, you know? Champu is basically a literature which has the mixture of Gadya and Padya. That means prose and poetry. So when prose and poetry interwoven together in a very nice way, you know, something like nowadays modern day Disney movies, right? The classic Disney movies, there's a prose and poetry together. You must have seen it, right? Sometimes you feel it boring, basically, when the poetry starts. But those who have Rasika consciousness, they're actually people who appreciate the mellows, and they have that hunger and that, you know, starvation for poetry. You know, they can actually appreciate it much better. It's a combination of prose and poetry, and that's called as a champu. So this Anand Vrindavan Champu and Gopal Champu, these literatures, There are wonderful such pastimes that, and if you read these dialogues between Krishna and Radharani, the way they talk and the way they counter each other's arguments, it's so funny and it's so sweet actually. But because we are not qualified to read such things, because we are too much in the material consciousness and we cannot really appreciate it at this point in time. So acharyas forbade us from reading such books. But nevertheless, in that book it is mentioned actually that, and I have not read it by the way, I have heard it from in someone's lecture. So it is mentioned that one day it was just like, you know, they were playing jokes. So they were Radharani and then few of her friends and Krishna and few of his friends. They're playing jokes with each other. And that time this particular thing happened when just after Rasleela, few days actually, after the first Rasleela took place. After that, there was this amazing pastime of Krishna liberating Nanda Maharaj from the mouth of a deadly serpent. That serpent was trying to, a cobra was trying to swallow Nanda Maharaj. And then Krishna released him. That turned out to be a Vidyadhar who was cursed by Ashtavakra Muni in his past life. And then also happened the pastime of killing of the Shankhachud demon, which is a source of the Shamantak jewel actually. That's another story that comes up later on. So after these two pastimes have taken place, the next pastime took place is the entry of Arishtasur in Vrindavan. So it's like, you know, people say that, many devotees say that just like the maternal uncle and the nephew, they always share a special relationship in anywhere you go, you know, because in Hindi language, mother is known as Ma. Ma means mother. And maternal uncle is known as Ma. So that is twice that of mother. So mother can give you love of X, and Mama, two mothers. You can give you love of two mothers, and Krishna can give you love of 1,000 mothers. That is the statement given by Dhruva Maharaj's mother. But anyway, so Ma is one mother and Mama is like two mothers. So Mamas are, they love their nephews very much. But Kamsa, who was a Mama of Lord Krishna, had a different relationship. Now, generally Mamas, you know, the nephews, the Mamas are the maternal uncles in this world. They always send nice toys to Krishna. Always nice toys to their nephews. And the nephews typically break the toys. And then the Mamas, they say, oh, no problem. You have broken one toy. I'll send you another nice toy. And the same thing was happening in Vrindavan also. This Mama was sending toys to Vrindavan in the form of various demons. And the nephew would break them and smash them actually. Break them very badly. Sometimes three toys in a day would be broken. And the Mama would say, okay, no problem. I'll send you one more toy. So another toy was sent. That was Arishtasura demon. And this demon came, and the way he came, and Arishta actually means trouble in Sanskrit. Arishta means the calamity, actually. He was calamity personified, Arishtasura. And he took the form of a bull, right? And Jiva Goswami actually explains that this Arishtasura, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who mentions in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that when this bull entered Vrindavan, the bull was roaring, right? Now, we have heard of roaring of lions and roaring of tigers. But how many of you have heard the roaring of a bull? I don't know how many of you read the book of Panchatantra. Anybody has read Panchatantra book? The first tantra of this book is known as the Mitra Bhed. That is enmity between friends, creating enmity between friends. And that's basically the story of a lion called as Pingalak and a bull known as Sanjivak. And this lion, when he first time sees this bull, he hears the loud roaring of this bull, and the lion gets scared to the core. And the lion just runs away. And one fox, who is one of the praja of this lion, notices this. And that's how the entire tantra begins in Panchatantra. So a lion gets scared of the roaring of a bull. That point is there in Panchatantra. And this was a bull. And what was the size of this bull? It is mentioned that the hump that this bull had on his back was so tall that the clouds in the sky started thinking that this is actually a mountain. And they surrounded that hump. And his tail, when he would raise it, it would actually go beyond the clouds. That was the size of this bull. Can you imagine? And his hissing and his roaring and his howling was so powerful that Chakravarti Thakur explains that many of the ladies had miscarriages in Vrindavan. Very sad, actually. But this happened. And when he was running, he was just galloping. The galloping is typically used for horses, but I'm just using it for bulls. When he was like running and galloping, it was shaking the earth, like massive earthquakes. Right? So suddenly Krishna and gopis were joking and they started experiencing all this. What's happening? What's going wrong? And all of a sudden, it didn't take much time for Arishtasura to spot Krishna. He just spotted him. But even before that, the gopis and the Prajavasis came to Lord Krishna and they told Krishna, Krishna, please protect us. This is horrible. What is happening is horrible. Please protect us. We have never seen this. So many demons came, but this is completely unnatural. This is something never before that has happened. Unprecedented, as they call it. So Krishna went head on to Arishtasura. And Arishtasura made a very... Krishna, first of all, actually told Arishtasura, he said, don't you know that I am still there in Vrindavan? Do you think that I have disappeared now? So how do you dare to cause pain and agony and so much of fear in the hearts of my devotees when I'm actually staying here and living here? Is this a joke? So Krishna was very angry at this Arishtasura. So he spoke very harshly. And then this Arishtasura spoke something which is what is commented by acharyas, actually. So this Arishtasura said that, and this is not there in Bhagavatam, but this is there in this literatures like Champu and all that. And I heard it in one of the lectures of Bhaktivigan Goswami Maharaj from Russia. So this Arishtasura said that, sir, you are telling me what I'm supposed to do? He said, look at you, what you're doing. You're supposed to be God, right? You call yourself as God. And what are you doing? You're playing jokes with village girls. I mean, any aristocratic man of this world doesn't do it. And you call yourself as God. And you are playing jokes with village girls. That does not suit you. I mean, that does not become of you. So, I mean, this is ridiculous. You should be doing something that God does. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually, and he points out these points from the Anandavrindavan Champus, and he comments on this. He says, this is a problem with people who experience rationality in their life. So rationality, so false pride, rationality is good because rationality is required. You know that typically when people analyze various types of people, there are the two extreme poles are emotional and rational. Even in the what they call as behavioral finance, there is this concept of rational economic man. I don't know if you heard of this. So a rational economic man always makes a perfect investment decision and it never goes wrong. But bang opposite to a rational economic man is an emotional man who puts money into stock that is already trending high, who hears from people and puts money into the commercial market and mostly ends up in losing his money, right? So an emotional investor and a rational investor. And people say that, you know, you should be rational because you cannot be emotional in life. But when people are rational and as an outcome of that rationality, they always get a lot of success. Then a small anartha starts creeping in the heart. The anartha of false pride. That I know things, I can decide things. And because I know things, I can decide things, I can even dictate things. And here is this insignificant, wretched asura, basically, in front of Supreme Personality of God. I mean, even if you are as tall as a mountain, attracting clouds, what is your size in front of Lord Krishna? What is your size in front of Vishnu? From one pore of his body, one entire universe is coming out. I mean, what is your position, right? And you feel that you can actually give advice to Lord Krishna that what he should do and what he should not do. And this false pride that comes because of rationality, too much of rationality, that false pride is represented by this particular demon of Arishtasura. Right? This is a demon of Arishtasura. So this, and I'm not quoting it. This is what is quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said the word Arishtasura is very similar to Aristotle. He said like that. And said Aristotle, also a famous philosopher. And one of the statements that he writes in the thesis, is that God has to be doing things which suit his own nature and personality. He cannot be doing simple things. God has to be a complex person and a very, very something which is big and magnificent and something gorgeous. You know, someone who is wearing a yellow dhoti and wearing a peacock feather and playing on flute cannot be called as God, because that is too simple. It is too unsophisticated. But that's what exactly Krishna is. And that's what exactly what Lord Krishna likes. To be simple. Because we're talking about Krishna as boss, right? He's a supreme boss. But what does he do? He grazes cows. He tends cows. So, I mean, sometimes you walk on the street and you see people caressing cows and you feel he's wasting his time. You know, what is he doing? Rubbish. And that's what Krishna does all day long. And his supreme personality of Godhead, by the way. And there's one great poet. I think his name is Vasu Ghosh, who appeared during the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wrote one poem. And in that he said, Gao gao puna gaurangera guna sarala koriya man. He says that, I request all of you, please make your heart very simple. Because in material world, you may have to do very complex things. Very, very complicated things. Right? But in heart, you should be very simple. One of the devotees who is a glaring example of this is Hanumanji. And of course, Chaitra Purnima is Hanuman Jayanti, which is a appearance of Radha Kund in this day. So befitting to speak on Lord Hanuman. But just giving his example, he's very smart. He's very shrewd. I mean, just by looking at Bibhishan, he understood that he's not a demon. And Sugriva specifically sent Hanumanji to check, you know, whether these two people who are coming in Hampi or who are coming in this Kishkindha, whether they are actually spies of Wali or they are real sadhus. So Hanumanji went as a spy to inspect, and he was very sharp, right? But in the heart, he's so simple, so simple. He saw one day Sita Maya putting sindoor in his inner ear. And then he asked, what is this? She said, this pleases Lord Ram. And therefore he covered his entire body with sindoor. That level of simplicity. That level of simplicity. That is an example, which is there in scripture. Clearing example. Right? Such people Lord Ram is attracted to. Such people Lord Krishna is attracted to. And therefore he is attracted to Brajavasis. Because they are very simple at heart. Right? But Brajavasis are also very expert businessmen, by the way. Don't forget that. They are very expert businessmen. I mean, if you ever meet a Baniya from Mathura, then you'll come to know how expert businessman that person is. But within, inside, core in the heart, they're very simple. Right? They love Krishna. The simplicity is in that loving Krishna. So anyway, coming back to the pastime. So this, he made a statement like that. Aristasur, very vehement statement. And Krishna said that, okay, you think that you understand better, so let's fight and I will send you to the abode of Yamaraj right today. And he became very angry and he just charged at Lord Krishna with full speed with his pointed two horns facing Lord Krishna, directly attacking Lord Krishna. And as he approached Lord Krishna simply grabbed one of the horn in his hand and he just toppled it. Just toppled Aristasura, and Aristasura was thrown 18 miles away. That's just one. I think nowadays probably in Mexico or Spain, they have this sport where they call a bull like this with a, but the thing that is the source of that sport is in this Leela, which is played by Lord Krishna during the appearance of Radha Kund. Right? And Krishna didn't have to, you know, show any red cloth or anything. And Aristasura didn't have to drink or go high on boozes. You know, he was just naturally like that. And Krishna was barehanded with bare hands, just fighting with this bull. And you know, so this is a perverted reflection, what they are saying. Prabhupada actually criticized that particular sport also. Prabhupada said that we should be treating bulls with respect and not like this. But we'll come to that part in some time. So Krishna just toppled him with a horn. And then he again came. This time Krishna grabbed another horn. Right? And he lifted him up and he just whirled him, like moved him, whirled him. And then if you remember the pastime of Dhenukasur, you know, the whirling was done and the whirling was done so fast that Dhenukasur basically lost his life because of the centrifugal force. Like the prana came out of the body because of centrifugal force. That is like, again, unprecedented. I don't know how Krishna did it, but Krishna, only Krishna can do it. So he just whirled him so fast, but this time he did not whirl him till the prana was lost. He thrashed him down. So he whirled him and thrashed him. So in traditional kusti, you know, with the, that was a wrestling match, there's a particular pose which is called as dhobi pachad. You know, that means just like a dhobi. Dhobi means a washerman. So go to a village, how a washerman does, washerman whirls the cloth and hits it on the rock. Whirls it and hits it on the rock. And that's how Krishna was doing. He was just whirling him and hitting him on the rock. And sometimes they have, these washermen have something like a bat, something that looks like a bat in their hand, you know, or a baseball bat, something that looks like a baseball bat. It's called dhoka, actually. It's called dhoka. So the dhoka, with the dhoka, you actually beat the particular cloth that you are washing. And when the dhoka is absent, then you have to use your foot. So the wash is hit, the cloth is hit on the stone, and then you have to press that cloth with your foot so that the water completely goes out. So that's what Krishna was doing. Krishna was hitting Arishasura down, and he was like pushing him with his small lotus-like heels. But for Arishasura, they were not like lotus-like heels. They were like thunderbolts hitting on his body. And within few such thrashes, Arishasura completely, he passed unlimited urine and stool. So a lot of gomutra and gobar all of a sudden coming out of his body. And then after that, he lost his life also. And Arishasura fell down there dead. And when the demigods saw from the heavenly abode this wonderful leela happening, they showered flowers. And then Krishna, in a very easy way, you know, as if, you know, and somehow this particular pastime was seen by the gopis who were playing pastimes with Lord Krishna. Generally, when Krishna is with his friends, he is very careful that he does not demonstrate his strength. Now here, actually, Krishna was not with his friends. He was alone. He was just with gopis. I made a mistake by saying like that. So Krishna, in front of his boyfriends, he never shows his strength so much. Only time that he did is the Govardhan Leela. And that also, his friends were also pushing the Govardhan from down, and we're feeling that actually we are lifting it and we are helping Krishna in doing that. So Krishna does not demonstrate his power in front of his friends. Why? Because otherwise they will not be able to play with him very nicely next time. So Krishna doesn't want to disturb that rasa. But in front of gopis, it was fine, right? I mean, it's natural. It's natural for a, you know, boy to, you know, flaunt in front of girls like that, you know, do show, make a show off. Krishna also did that, you know, as a show off, just killed one demon in a very funny way, a very easy way. And then he came to Radharani back. So Radharani was very grave. She said, "Don't touch me. Don't talk to me." So Krishna, "Hey, what happened?" So she said, "You have killed a cow. You are a gohatya. Gohatya kand ho gaya aapse. You have killed a cow. You killed a bull." Krishna said, "Hey, come on. He was not a bull. He was a demon who was disguised as a bull." So Radharani said, "So what? Still, he had the body of a bull. And bull is treated as father in our culture. And because you have killed a bull, you have inflicted the sin of killing a cow. And therefore, I cannot play with you anymore. I can't talk to you." So he said, "Okay, then what I have to do?" So Krishna, in his transcendental way, he got scared. He got emotional that Radharani won't be talking to me now. And that is his sweetness. "So what do I do now?" Radharani said, "You will have to take bath in all the auspicious places in the entire universe, not just India, but all the holy places in the entire universe." And in fact, it is mentioned that one who does a killing of a cow, the only thing that, the only material remedy, so to speak, you can say, apart from chanting the holy names, because chanting the holy names is all powerful, is that you have to actually go and take bath in all the auspicious places in the entire universe. There's another pastime which took place in Nasik here, close by to in Maharashtra, where Gautam Rishi also did something like that. And the advice given to him was that he has to go and take bath in all the holy places in the entire universe. So Krishna said, "Ah, fine, I'll do that. I'll go and take bath in all the universe. But why should I do that? You know, I am boss. I will make all the holy places come here." So the gopis were smiling and laughing. "You know, what nonsense you're talking about? How can a holy places come here?" So Krishna said, "You want to see? Okay." So Krishna just pressed his heel down. And when he pressed his heel down, a river, Bhogavati, which is in the hellish planets, that Bhogavati river just came up. So Ganga, when it goes to hellish planets, she's known as Bhogavati. So Bhogavati came up and filled that pond completely. And then Krishna just meditated for a minute and all the holy places appeared there in the personified form in front of Lord Krishna. And then the gopis said, hey, you are doing some magic. We don't believe the holy places. So Krishna said, no, please introduce yourself. So the holy places started introducing. I am river Viraja. No, I am the river Shona. I am the river Taptaparani. So all these different holy rivers in different places, in different planets, they all appeared. And including Yamuna, Kaveri, Sindhu, all these rivers appeared. And they filled the pond. I know I'm supposed to end now, just already time is up. But I'll just end this pastime and we'll end there. It is 8:49, so I have 1 minute to go. Thank you. So all the rivers were filled. And then Krishna just took bath in that. And Krishna said, wow, so now I am completely pure. I have taken bath. And so they actually filled that pond, which was created by Lord Krishna's heel, was filled up by all these rivers. Krishna took bath. Then Krishna went to go Radharani and said, see, now I have taken bath and I am completely purified. But you have now become impurified because you took side of a demon. You spoke on the side of a demon. So now you are contaminated. So how will you take bath? So you have to go and take bath in all the holy places now. So she said, I will do that. But Lord Krishna told her, you can use my kund, please take bath. She said, no, not in your kund. Your kund has now become contaminated because now you took bath in the kund, so now the water of the kund is contaminated. So we will use our own water. So nearby there is this wonderful place called Manasi Ganga. So gopis, within an hour's time, actually dug an entire big ditch with their bangles. And the gopis started taking water. They made a big line all the way from Manasi Ganga to that place. And they started taking water from Manasi Ganga and filling the kund. And Krishna felt so compassionate to them. He doesn't like his devotees doing so much of a painful task. So Krishna told, he just motioned the kundas, all the holy places, just go and talk to Radharani. So they went and they spoke to Radharani. They prayed, they glorified her. She became very happy. Say, okay, what do you want? They said, we want to serve you by becoming the part of your kund, by becoming part of your kund's water. Please allow us. So she gave that blessing to them. And they filled up her kund. And then Krishna was so happy. Radharani was so happy. Radharani said that this kund, which is Lord Krishna's kund, if anyone takes bath in this kund, it's my blessing that that person will attain the love of Krishna exactly the way I have it in my heart. And then Lord Krishna said, the other kund which is there, which is Radha Kund, if anyone takes bath in this kund is so dear to me that anyone who takes bath here will attain the same love for me as my dear devotee Radharani has. And since that day, these two kunds have been there in Vrindavan. Later on, just 500 years back, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and he reestablished these two kunds because these two kunds had been lost afterwards. And then Raghunath Das Goswami, who is a direct follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, excavated these kunds and made nice ghats along these kunds. And there's a beautiful story about that, but that we can take some other time because the time is already up. And there are two things which I will say and then I will end the class. When we go to Radha Kund, there are two things which Srila Prabhupada said that we should be very careful about. One is that this kund is considered as a liquid form of Srimati Radharani. It's non-different than Srimati Radharani. So just like when we devotees take bath in rivers, they are sometimes frivolous, they play water sports. But in Radha Kund, you cannot do that. You have to be extremely serious. And when Srila Prabhupada personally saw a few devotees doing water sports in Radha Kund, he stopped his devotees from taking bath in Radha Kund. Only with the permission of Guru you can go. Because the place is very serene, it's very sacred. It has a particular mood attached to it. And absolute no frivolity is accepted there. So that is one thing. And secondly, because Radha Kund is a place where you know that you get love of God. So it is, you know, let's say infested with many other false people also who claim to be great devotees. And they start talking about certain high level devotional service, trying to enter into those bhavas. And innocent devotees who visit these places, they sometimes get attracted to such philosophies. And they they stray away from the path of sadhana bhakti. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, go to Radhakund in association of sincere devotees. Go, respect Radhakund, take bath, just come out. Take bath in Shyamakund, again take bath in Radhakund. That's what people do. And then just sit there and pray. Pray intensely for the love of Srimati Radharani. For that same mood, the simple heart. Because when you want to stay in this material world, you have to be absolutely rational. But when you want to deal with devotees and deal with Krishna, you have to be at heart very simple. Right? How to take that balance? Give that intelligence. Please give me that intelligence. You have to pray intensely to Radhakund. You have to pray intensely to have that strong attachment to devotional service. Right? That love. And one must in one's life make a visit to this place and take his bath, his or her bath. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Thank you for engaging me in your service. Very happy and feeling very grateful to all of you. If I have made any mistakes, please forgive me. And if there are any comments or questions, we can take it now. Or if the time is up, I'm fine to even end the meeting. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you so much, Guruji. It's very nice class. Please, devotees, if you have any question, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, dear Prahlad Priya Prabhu. This is your servant. Adi Gadadhar Das from Atlanta.
Ah, I thought your voice, I recognize it. you should you be so answering much. Questions, Prabhu, not asking questions.
No, Prabhu. I just want to express my gratitude to you on Bhakti Sangha because you are one of my mentors and how much I have learned under your guidance and your mentorship in Mumbai. And I'm very, very grateful to you, Prahlapya Prabhu, for nurturing me and helping me grow in my Krishna consciousness. Prabhuji, I wanted to ask you one question. You made so many amazing and important points from this very beautiful pastime of the appearance of Sri Radhakund. You, towards the end, this question was in my mind as you were speaking, and then towards the end, also you spoke about innocence and having that innocent devotion for Krishna. And my question, Prabhu, is as we spend more and more years in Krishna consciousness, devotees are so kind that they always tell that, Prabhu, you are a very nice devotee. Prabhu, you are this. Prabhu, you are that. And because of sadhana, because of hearing so many things from so many devotees, hearing nice things about ourselves, a pride comes in the heart. And we start believing. Like Shripad Sanatan Goswami told Mahaprabhu that devotees call me Pandit and my problem is that I believe them. So that pride starts coming. We start believing that I am a good devotee. And that pride can be very, very disturbing, Prabhuji, to one's Krishna consciousness. So for my own personal improvement, I want to ask you how to get rid of that pride or how to control that pride. Because I have seen with my own eyes, Prabhu, that you are very humble. Once in Barsana I camp, I introduced you to my friend that this is my assistant counselor, Prahlapya Prabhu. You later on told me that, Prabhuji, please don't say like this. Don't introduce me like that. I can never forget that at Ras Mandir, you told me. So I want to ask you, Prabhu, how to control this pride because we start believing that I am very advanced devotee or I am a nice devotee. So please, Prabhu, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Am I audible? Because there is a train passing right now. It's quite loud.
Just give me a minute. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, yeah. So, thank you for the question. I'm not a humble person. And pride is a subtle thing. It just crops up at a time when you are never expected it. When you actually start believing that you are humble, at some point in time, you know, Krishna will expose to you that how much envious and how much poison you also have. And how much you also feel very insecure and this when sevas and appreciation go to somebody else in front of you. Now, generally, the pride gets affected when you're equal or somebody who is of exact same stature. That person receives the same level of appreciation as you receive. Or, you know, you see him doing something better in his life, either in material life or spiritual life. It doesn't really matter. There is a sense of there's this sense of insecurity that gets developed in the heart. Now, how to overcome this? See, there is no solution accept purity of heart to any of the anarthas. So how to overcome envy, how to overcome false pride, how to overcome a lust. So there's the same solution. The solution is that one has to overcome the impurities of heart. And the solution is to chant in such a way that is pleasing to Lord Krishna. And Krishna personally cleanses that heart from of all the anarthas. That is the only solution. But some practical things that can be done, you know, because there is always this Purushartha and Paramartha, right? The two fingers of Yashoda Mai, the Purushartha and the Paramartha. So Purushartha is what is in your hand, the Paramartha is what is in Krishna's hands, right? Or Purushartha and Krishna's mercy, let's say it's like that. So what is the Purushartha that you can do to overcome pride? Yeah, so the Purushartha that you can do is being conscious of this fact every time that we do, that, you know, whatever I have is ultimately, you know, it's a banner. It's given to me by Krishna. It's given to me by Guru. It's given to me what am I? I mean, what he can make any ordinary insect also a great devotee. Like that in those who are from Maharashtra, maybe knowing the story of Naneshwar making a Reda. Reda means he buffalo. He buffalo speak Bhagavad Gita, right? So we should be thinking that, you know, my Guru Maharaj is like Naneshwar, you know, and I'm like a he buffalo speaking Bhagavad Gita by his blessings. You know, I don't have any abilities. So that's a fact, actually. That's what one should understand by this pastime. I don't know how many people actually look at this pastime in that way. But, you know, we should understand that this is what it is. And therefore, you know, now, of course, this is not may not be possible in lockdown. But it's always good to be engaged in certain services which are very menial. And devotees deliberately do that. Engage in certain menial services which are actually taken up by really, you know, low level people, like very menial service and very insignificant. And doing that in an area where nobody knows you. And it's very important that you everyone takes up that service. Because if you take menial service in front of everybody, again, that becomes a cause of glorification. But if you do it somewhere where nobody knows you, you know, like you go to some temple, nobody knows you in that temple, and you just stand at the shoe stall and receive people's shoes. If you see Lord Krishna did in Rajasuya sacrifice also, you know, he just stood at the shoe stall receiving people. And I made this comment once, probably sometime back in some class that I gave. And it always attracts me. Like, you know, you visit a temple, let's say, what is the main deities in there? Your temple where you stay? Charlotte or any other place? Is that a Gornitai or Radha Krishna deities? Let's say the name is Radha Girdhari. I don't know. I'm just giving some sample. And you go to the temple and Girdhari himself is at the shoe stall. How you feel like, you know, you came to take darshan of Girdhari and he's standing at the shoe stall. You'll fall flat. How can you do it? And that's what happened to people who came to see Krishna in Rajasuya sacrifice. They came all the way to Rajasuya sacrifice because they wanted to see Krishna. Prabhupada writes in his book purport that Krishna was a cynosure of everyone's eyes. He uses this classic English word. I don't know from where Prabhupada found such words. He says he is a cynosure of everyone's eyes. And he says that, and Krishna was there standing at the shoe stall, picking up slippers of people. Can imagine? And just next moment, he's there receiving the main man, the main respect of Rajasuya sacrifice. It's like people were shocked. And none of them had any objection in Krishna becoming that, taking that position, because they saw this wonderful aspect of Lord Krishna. They saw this humble nature of Lord Krishna. So doing this menial services somewhere in a way that nobody comes to know about it. And you do it in a very, like how Lokanath Narottam Das Thakur did to Lokanath Goswami, you know, just cleaning his stool. Somehow that thing has become public. Everyone knows it. Otherwise, nobody would ever know this. And Narottam Das Thakur definitely didn't want anyone to know this. He was just doing it as a menial service. So that's how one should, that's the part of your Paramartha. And the second thing, your Purushartha that you can do, doing menial services. And second thing you should do is that whenever you feel proud, you know, we should hear from the equals. Right? Somebody who is an equal, he's giving class, he's speaking about Krishna, or he's doing something. We should take participation in that. Or if there is a, let's say, birthday celebration of that person, you know, somebody's people are going to appreciate his deeds on his birthday, right? Then participate in that. Hear the glories of that person. And then you feel, you know, it's the same person who is actually giving me that empowerment, who is actually giving that person that empowerment. And in fact, the empowerment given to that person is so much better than mine, because in so wonderfully way it's manifested in his life because of his purity and his sincerity, or he or she. I mean, I'm saying he because I'm a man. I mean, I don't really have to become jealous of women so much in my life personally, but so for women, it's women, for men, it's men, but in anyone whom you feel little envious of, or you feel little this of, you should appreciate. Use the mouth to glorify that person, and genuine glorification. Actually find good things. Like, I'll just give you an example. And sometimes it requires effort, and please don't quote me outside. You know, I personally in my life, you know, in India, because we strongly believe in India has gone through a lot of political turmoil since long. And I'm a very staunch believer of principles given by Swatantra Veer Savarkar in India. And therefore, you know, you don't like, when you are a Savarkarwadi, you don't like Mahatma Gandhi, you don't like Jawaharlal Nehru. You know, it's like you take political sides like that. But then today I was supposed to tell my daughter good points about Jawaharlal Nehru, because she was supposed to write a poem on him, because his day is coming very soon. I think it's 14th November or something. It's called Baladin. Right? So she, and then, so I had to speak. So you should be able to glorify someone whom you don't like also. Because even in somebody whom you don't like, there are good qualities present. And you should be able to practice and find it out. Because ultimately, everyone is a part of Krishna. Ultimately, every living being is part and parcel of Lord Krishna. And that's what slowly, slowly we need to transcend to, and we need to reach to that level. So that's what actually was the reason I gave the example of Hanumanji. You know, he had this consciousness. When he saw Ravana for the first time, what was the first thing that came to his mind? He was like, wow. If this man was to be a devotee of Lord Ram, how much seva this person could have done? He did not think that, oh, you know, I am a person who is the best servant of Lord Ram. You know, what is that? Lai uthaye dronagiri, jag dekhe lila nyari. You know, he could do massive, unprecedented services for Lord Ram. But when he saw Ravan, he in his mind is thinking that this person can be a better servant of Lord Ram than me. Why is he not a devotee of Lord Ram? So he feels sad at the heart that this person, why is he not a devotee? And then he changes his mind. Okay, now I am on my job. Right? This is how a devotee thinks. Even in somebody who doesn't like, he doesn't likes. You know, he can see a good quality in that person, because he sees ultimately it's connected to Lord Krishna. It's forgetfulness from Lord Krishna which is why that person is suffering, or that person is separated from him. If there is some way that this person can be reminded of Lord Krishna. And therefore you see Sita Devi also, she allowed herself to get abducted by Ravan for this one reason, because she wanted to give a chance to Ravan to get to preach to him actually. Because there was no reason for Sita Devi to get abducted by Ravana. Sita Devi allowed herself to get abducted by Ravana because she wanted to speak to him about Ram. Because Sita Devi, when she was like, what, 5 years old, she lifted that bow with her left hand and she cleaned the altar and all that. And Ravana could not even move that bow by a few centimeters. So if she was just to slap Ravan, all his 10 heads would fall down actually. That much strength she had. But she allowed herself to get kidnapped. Why? Because she wanted to give that chance to Ravan. Okay, I will tell you something. You listen to me. Right? So everyone is giving chance. Hanumanji also, he went there. He went as a messenger. He gave a chance. Okay, try to understand. You know. Then nobody would... Then, and you know... Ultimately, then the tail was ignited on fire and then the entire Lanka was burnt, right? So, this is there you see the husband and wife relationship. When Hanumanji came, it's actually Lord Shiva who appeared. And then when Parvati Devi said that, oh, you are appearing in this wonderful incarnation, I also want to come and assist you. So, he said, okay, you come as my tail. So, as Shiva, he gave good counsel. But the Devi, you know, she is Kali Mata. And you don't pay attention to her. You don't listen to her. You know, material energy shows us. One or two samples she will show. Okay, see, this is what happens. This is what happens. You don't listen? Okay. Then you take the sample yourself. Right? Take it. Enjoy. So like that. She gave back then to Ravan. Ravan had to undergo that entire burning, 50% Lanka burnt, melted down fully. So it's like that. So, you know, so the council is, so the material nature gives us this counsel actually, you know, there's a time for us to become humble. If we don't listen to that, then the bigger attack will come. So therefore in Christianity, it is mentioned that pride commit before fall. That one thing we can definitely learn from Christianity, that one principle. Yeah. It's a very dangerous principle. Sorry, I spoke a lot, but I'm not sure if your question is answered. But two things which I said, one is menial service and one is genuine appreciation and glorification of other devotees. Yeah, sorry. Any other questions?
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna,
Prabhu. Dhanavad Pranam. Please accept my obeisances.
All Guru Shri. Hare Krishna. Hari Bol. Shama Gauri Prabhu.
Charlotte Prabhu.
Yeah, yeah.
Couple of things which I realized, wanted to summarize. It's not a question, but things which I liked in your class, what I'm describing here. I have heard the story about Maneshwar and that male buffalo, and I have never really connected the dots together the way you explained. So nicely you explained, Prabhu. So wonderful. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Also, I have always had a doubt about a devotee taking bath or not taking bath in Radhakund, Shankund. The way you explained today that if you have a permission from your guru and the way you should do it, very nicely, Prabhu. Thank you so much. And then the last thing, I never knew about Hanuman and his tale about Parvati being part of that tale. We always knew that Hanuman is the Amshadar of Shiva, but then today you explained one more thing which I really, really like. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for your encouraging words. Thank you so much. You are like my father. Hari Bol. Please accept my humble obeisances.
In Krishna consciousness, what matters is realization, and you have 1,000 times better than us. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
No. Grateful. Hari Bol. Thank you for allowing me to serve. That's all I can say.
Thank you.
Thank you for pulling me out of my consciousness of material rationality, of Arishtasur-like mentality. You actually pulled me out to make speaking something.
Come back to you multiple times, Prabhu. So, now you will be able to come again and again. We will keep calling.
So, Prabhu, whenever is possible, because again, very honestly telling you, because of the global pandemic, the situations have become so worse that I'm one person in my office, I'm doing job of three people. People have left, they have lost, and I really look forward towards the weekend to, you know, recuperate and give some of my time for my house needs and spend some time with my family. So I'm not able to always give times on weekends for even the spiritual causes. But, you know, once in a month or something like that is, I don't know, I'm just saying that like that, but, you know, that is fine. But, you know, every weekend and all is impossible. I mean, sometimes other people just say, okay, you do something. It's absolutely not possible because we have to function. We are human beings, all human beings, not realized souls.
Once in a year, we are speakers who speak once in a quarter, and we are speakers who speak every week. So it is okay, Prabhu.
So whatever, but definitely once in quarter is okay, I will say. Or even once in 6 months is okay, but apart from that, becomes very difficult.
Prabhu, like how you are available, and then only we'll coordinate, Prabhu.
When we try to bring speakers here, we do send reminders or we do approach them, requesting them, and sometimes it is too much for you. Please say that means you don't have time, and we are okay with that. But as a duty, we are keep approaching the speakers, right?
Okay, like that. Okay, I understood.
I message you more so because
more often than what you would like to be.
I don't take any offense from any devotee, and I just request them whatever I say. Please don't take any offense because I don't mean. I'm just doing the service to Srila Prabhupada. This Bhakti Sangha group is like, you know, going from last 10 years, Prabhuji, and every day morning Bhagavatam class is there. And also we have Chaitanya Charitamrita classes and kids classes. So many classes the whole day going on.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Wow. Amazing. Jai. Wonderful.
It is because of speakers like you, Prabhu. It is not.
No.
The forum is popular because of they are getting something and it is given by the speakers.
Yeah, so devotees, they just come forward and they just come together and they help a lot and they give classes and, you know, they suggest the things and that's how we are growing, Prabhuji, and, you know, getting a lot of mercy from devotees like you. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm getting association from you and thank you so much. It's very inspiring to see people in far off places clinging to Krishna consciousness like a creeper, you know, clings on a very powerful kalpavriksha tree of Krishna consciousness. You know, it's like so that it can withstand all the storms that comes. Yeah, very nice to see that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, can I leave the meeting now, or is it that
you can leave the meeting? We will continue our.
So, please accept my obeisances. Vancha kalpaturu bhyascha krupa sindhubhya evacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.
Jai.
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 Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Krishna. Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Bol.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Bol.
We have next section. Rajmandala Parikrama by Padmasakhi Mataji. I will hand over call to Padmasakhi Mataji. Mataji, are you there?
Mataji, yes, I'm there, but can I share my screen? I am not able to share the screen. Can you make me host?
Yes, Mataji, done. Start, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees, we will continue our Vrajamandal Parikrama now. And yesterday, we are still in Govardhan Parikrama, so we will continue from where